I'd like to take two verses from the first chapter of the Epistle of James, verses 23 and 24. They read, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Pastor, would you please pray over the message?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your words are life, Lord. And we know that, Father, that as we pay attention to them, as we feed upon them, they will nourish us up, Lord, that we will become who you have called us to be. And we know this because your word declares it, Lord. I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon Brother Nathan, that he may administer it the way that your Spirit gives it to him, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to preach on a message that I've entitled, "We Remember." We Remember. Our lives up to this point, to this present time, are comprised and defined by our memories. What it is that we have experienced up to this point. And I remember it was a preacher, he was, you know, Bible school teacher and all that. He would say over and over and over, "We are the sum total of every decision we have ever made in our lives." I'd heard it so many times, I would just say, yeah, as soon as he started out, I tuned that out. I've heard that enough. But to some degree, it's true. We are all here tonight because we chose to be. Or we chose to be in a position where we ended up here. But for some circumstances, you would not be here. And your identity, how you perceive yourself, and even your perceptions of the world are based upon your experiences and your memories. What it is that you recollect up to this time. And of course, memories are subject to distortion. The good old days! I love to hear those stories. Oh, the good old days! And the more I hear about the good old days, I begin to think the days weren't so much good, it's just that people weren't so old back then, you know? So I was all full of energy and life had so much promise! More effective that they were young, not that the days were so much better. And of course, then you would get to the stories like, "Yeah, back when I was a child, when we walked to school uphill, both ways, through the blinding wind-driven snow and the heat of the summer sun, with no shoes, barefoot, through the thorns." Matthew 26, verse 6. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. And this woman, she did an act of kindness to the Lord. She did something above and beyond what his disciples would have thought to do. They were with him daily. They were used to being with him. They were invited to the dinner. They sat down with him. They broke bread with him. Here comes in this woman who wasn't invited. She was allowed in. And she did something truly above and beyond anything they would have considered doing for the Lord.'" In Matthew 26, verse 11, "For you have the poor with you always, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Now, this unnamed woman, she was unnamed. Now, a lot of people say, well, it was Mary Magdalene, but that's just pure conjecture. We have no idea who this person was. There are four accounts of very similar circumstances. Are they the same event? We don't really know. They could have been different events. Some of them have very similar compounds. Twice it says that Jesus' feet were anointed. Twice it says his head was anointed. We know in these different circumstances that it was always a woman who did it. In one of these accounts, in Luke 7, the woman is made known as a person which had a tremendous amount of sin. And when the disciples get indignant about it, Jesus says, I came into your presence, and I received no kiss. And while I've been in your presence, this woman hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. She had much sin, and her sins were forgiven. And because her sins, which were many, are forgiven, she loves much. She has a greater sense of passion, a greater sense of wishing to express her desire, her love, and her kind will toward the Lord. She not only kissed his feet, she anointed his feet with oil, and she washed his feet with the hairs of her head. And then the disciples, they were indignant. Why? If he knew what manner of woman this was. And he knew exactly what manner of woman she was. Talking about we remember, memorial. Proverbs 20 and 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You've heard that expression? He's a good kid. They're good kids. You know, oh, that little jerk. He's a punk. He's got a bad attitude. Just a good old boy. An oxymoron. How can you be old and a boy? It's like jumbo shrimp. And I'm not sure what a good old boy is. Is good and boy. Okay, I'm just playing with words there. People are known by their works. You don't see somebody who is constantly engaged in mischief and say, he's a good kid. No, that's probably not what you're thinking. It's not what you should be thinking. And we are known by our works. Our works are a memorial to us. They are what people remember us by. They are our legacy. Speaking about memorials. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. What did they play? Banjos? No, he was a centurion. He was the leader of a military unit. They could have played banjos. I have no idea. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man. A Roman centurion? And a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius! And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. His kind acts, his devotion to God, came up as a memorial before God. And now God was reaching out to him. But it wasn't just to Cornelius that he was reaching out to, because this very act he was instructed to go visit Peter. And while Peter was out there, he's out there praying, God showed him a vision. And it opened Peter's eyes to a whole new field of harvest. Peter would have had nothing to do with this man. He was a Gentile. Cornelius' faith and his desire for God didn't just reflect well upon him and his family. It changed the heart of Peter. Peter all of a sudden said, all things are clean if they are made clean in Christ. All things, all peoples. Peter would have fled from these people. Peter was rebuked in the Gospels. In the Acts. Because he would dissimulate himself from people who were non-Jewish. He was possessed of that prejudice, his religious prejudice, against people who weren't Jews. Talking about memorials. We're talking about, we remember. Wasn't so long ago I attended the memorial of a co-worker. And pretty much the man who conducted the service, he got kind of behind a lectern like this. He opened up a Bible and just started reading from it. And then he shared, I'm reading to you. He had the, you know, casket. I'm reading to you from this man's Bible. His memorial service was conducted out of the Bible that he had kept and he had marked and he had left. And it was a memorial to him. He said, this man, this is what this man treasured. This is what this man cherished in life. And I don't know that most of the people, if they had heard that the scripture was going to be shared, they might not have showed up because they were just coming to say farewell to a coworker. I was very touched by that. I found it to be a tremendous blessing. I was looking at my Bible this morning. Pastor was sharing and I was kind of flipping back and forth. Little bits of it. I was teaching Sunday school and the, like, little tabs and stuff were falling off the pages. And it's becoming more loose leaf than not. And, you know, the cover is kind of coming apart at the seams here. Doesn't even say Holy Bible anymore. It just has a little bit of the E over here in the corner. And about the only thing that's still there is my name, misspelled, on the front. It was before we got married. It wasn't her name then. It was my... The pastor was going back and forth and he had the scriptures. You know, the scriptures are all up here that I was kind of flipping back and forth in my Bible and I started to become struck by... notes and little kinds of little different colored ink stuff in here. Like, I wonder why did I do that? Sometimes it's pretty evident. Sometimes I don't even remember doing that. Actually, I've had other Bibles in the past 20 years. Felt like I should have something more presentable to carry into the pulpit. You know, really nice, big, leather-bound, gold gilt edges, and, you know, it looked beautiful and things. I like this one better, though. The other ones have, they have center notes and side notes, and so the text, the actual text, is really small. And I don't have progressive glasses yet, so be like trying to read it from way back. Remember my great uncle? Remember my uncle? He said, "I figured it was time to get glasses. I was trying to hold toes with my books with my toes so I could read them, laying in bed trying to turn pages with his toes. I think it might be time to get some new glasses." I'm fond of this Bible. Because it is memorial of my walk with God. When I look at it and I see all those notes, I'm reminded of the time spent and the times God reached through its pages and spoke to my heart, corrected me, inspired me. Ephesians 3:15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Names can be a memorial, even if they're misspelled. Names can be a memorial. You see common names. Johnson. Somebody was John's son. Davis. Wow, how many Davises are there? And if you're of English descent, Smith. My goodness, there were a lot of Smiths in England. But those were trade names. Cooper. They don't have as much a thing. Around here, Steve's, even if it's spelled like it should be, it's uncommon. I've been told if somebody's got their name spelled the same way that it's spelled, I'm related to those people pretty closely. Because when people came from Germany and they came through Ellis Island, they changed their name from German to American. And if it's spelled the same, they were all descended from that same family that came from Germany. Never actually met anybody outside of the local area with the same last name. But it's a heritage, a legacy, a memorial. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who? That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's Ephesians 3:16. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. I just mentioned, sometimes I don't know why I highlighted or underlined or tweaked or made notes in my Bible. But when I read those verses, there's no doubt in my mind why I felt the need to highlight those. And it's highlighted in three different colors. So at three different times, I was reading through here with different implements, and I, oh, wow, that's good. I'm going to highlight that. And, that's good too. I'm going to highlight that one. And I don't remember what order they were in. I don't specifically remember doing it. But I'm glad that I did. Sometimes, you don't remember the occasion. But things haven't lost their import. I was tempted to just not make an outline tonight and just flip through my Bible and read all the things that are highlighted, underlined, and all that. It makes good sense to me. Scattergun. That's the way you always do it, Nathan. Yes, I know. Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's not in my notes. That's just underlined in my Bible on the same page. Sister's going, what is going on? You don't have my Bible. All the highlights in here. But this Bible, I remember before I had this Bible, and we still have it at home somewhere, I had a big, large print, black covered Bible that had been chewed upon, like the corner over here, by one of my dogs. It was a puppy. It had chewed on the corner of my Bible, and then it died not too long after that. It did, and it's kind of always kind of kept an odd thing, a memorial, with this puppy's chew marks on the Bible there. But I remember as a young man, not being very. I was one of those people that would say, "Lord, I need something from you," and I would just close my eyes and kind of thumb through it, and then read something, and hope that was what God wanted for me. And you know what? You do a lot better if you just start reading it. But I do remember, and on some occasions, though, I would do that, and I just kind of point to a spot on the page and read it, see if that's what God wanted for me. Sometimes it would be just what I needed. I don't recommend that. I actually recommend that you read. But I remember in my youthful angst and in my hurt, you do things when you're young that cause a lot of pain. I remember laying in bed with that Bible on my chest, holding it, feeling so comforted by it. I'm sure I would have gotten a lot more comfort if I spent the time reading it instead of just holding it. But it was a memorial. I still have that Bible. It's even worse shaped than this one. But my name's not misspelled on the cover, at least. Love you, honey. Just playing around with that. Speaking about we remember. A memorial. Most references in the Bible that have to do with memorial, I hate to say percentage, probably 9 in 10 of them have to do with a memorial of the cost of atonement, particularly in the Old Testament. It was to be a memorial of the cost of their sin. It was to be a memorial of the weight and the burden of people's mistakes. Occasionally, it was a memorial of God's deliverance. But really, that's just parsing the words. Because the memorials in the Old Testament pointed toward what? God's atonement. First Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I remember God when I go to His house. I remember God when I see the big statues and the crosses and the cathedrals. I remember God when we come in and we have Jesus as Lord and the Lord's Prayer and Free at Last and Jehovah and Peace and Shalom and Worthy of Praise. And we have Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow Me here in this house." We remember God. But this is the temple where we should remember God. We are His namesake. We are His legacy upon this earth. I haven't mentioned this a whole lot. I didn't mention it at work. I haven't said a whole lot. My mother passed away on Wednesday. Well, I don't really. Why I don't mention it and I don't want to talk about it is because I really don't want to dwell on it. It's sad. But we are her legacy. Friday evening we had a get together, my brother and my sister and, you know, grandkids. And she's gone. She's passed away. I wish we'd had more memories. I'd had more memories of her. But without her, I can be here. For as long as I am on this earth, I am her legacy. And my children are her legacy. Do you remember your own reflection? Of course I do, Nathan. It's as imperfect as it ever has been. You know, I'm always struck by this, and I saw it was a cartoon, a scribble, you know. But I saw it was a young man who looked like your typical 98-pound weakling gets sand kicked in his face. He's standing in front of a mirror, little bitty scrawny thing. And in the reflection, you see this Arnold Schwarzenegger-looking guy looking back. And then on the other side of the caption, there was a similar little young woman, all skinny and everything, and she looks in the mirror and she sees a big old reflection looking back on her, all out of proportion and stuff. So the man, he looks at himself and says, "Why, look how big I am." And the woman, she looks at herself and goes, "Oh, look how fat I am." Neither of them is a true reflection of what they're seeing, though. You see what you want to see, I suppose. Some people look in the mirror and see all their flaws. Some people look at themselves and go, "Wow, I'm pretty good looking." Depends on, guess, your experiences, your history, your memories that bring you up to this point. Perhaps how other people have reacted to you. I don't know. But I remember people whose identity would change by who they were around. Which is sad. I knew this guy. He was from Chicago. And if he wasn't around people from Chicago, he was pretty much normal. If you got him around people from Chicago, he'd start throwing gang signs and all kinds of weird stuff. Like he was playing up what part of Chicago he was from. Well, who are you really? I remember a man one time, he was talking to, you know, he introduced himself to a bunch of people. And he said, "Yeah, I'm my mother's white and my father's black. I'm kind of 50-50 bar." I remember he saying that stuff like that. I was like, that's kind of weird, you know, just whatever. And then he was around a group of his black friends and he said, "What? I'm all black. There ain't no cream in this coffee." I almost fell over laughing. I was like, who are you, man? You don't even know who you are. You know, there's other people around who heard you say the other thing. But what does it matter? What does it matter? What are we to be a memorial of? Whose legacy are we to be? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We remember. Do we remember? Shouldn't we remember? I remember as a young man, Vietnam War wasn't that long ago. I was born in 1974 and I kind of came of age. That was the most recent war that America had been engaged in. And I remember when they built the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington. And I remember the solemnity of it. And I remember how simple and elegant it was. I thought, wow. Forever people will remember the sacrifice of all these thousands of men and women. And the longer I live, the more I look back on things. I see memorials that are broken down and people don't even know why. Stonehenge.
I would imagine, was a memorial to something. They wouldn't have bothered to do all that work. What does it mean? Nobody really knows. Our lives come and go. And the legacy that we leave are the memories that we leave behind. We are working on our legacy each and every day. And our legacy should be, as Cornelius's was, to inspire others toward God. We should be remembering who we are and why we are here. Pastor.